We often talk about small business owners, in particular freelancers, having to wear many hats. We are pretty much our own boss, bookkeeper, marketing team, tech support person, administrative assistant, and more. But how often do you really sit down and think about all these areas of your business?
Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire. Hello and welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 49, and today we want to share a conversation about conducting a business audit. We wanted to talk about why it's important to check in with your translation or interpreting business regularly, what areas to look at, and most importantly, how often. We believe this is an area that is often overlooked by many freelancers. We can get so much into the day-to-day needs of our business that we forget to take a holistic look at the bigger picture.
That's right. Another common thing that can happen is that you might check in with your business once a year and then either forget about certain areas of it or set unrealistic goals or forget to review your progress throughout the year. This can happen even with the best of intentions. I know that I have done this in the past myself, so I can speak to this personally. So we thought that sharing a sort of roadmap today might be helpful. But before we dive in, we have a special announcement to make. In many episodes of Smart Habits for Translators, you hear us talk about the importance of finding time to work on your business. We've talked about the benefits of conducting a business retreat, either solo or with a trusted colleague, and how important it is to take the pulse, if you will, of your business and various areas of your work and personal life. Well, we know it can be difficult to find the time and motivation to do that. It's also difficult to do it consistently and not treat your business goals the same way that many people treat their New Year's resolutions, meaning you define them once a year and then life and work get busy and those big goals you start setting start to gather dust, leaving you with a huge amount of guilt.
We believe that checking in with your business several times a year is a much healthier approach. Knowing that the next check-in point is just around the corner helps you stay focused. It also means you can create much more manageable goals when you look 90 days ahead, instead of wrapping your head around an entire year's worth of plans and aspirations. A lot of us are more disciplined and motivated to actually sit down and work on our business strategically and intentionally when we do it alongside a trusted colleague, or a few. That deep group work can be motivating and inspiring, and challenges that seem insurmountable when you try to crack them alone suddenly appear in a new light when you talk them through with friends and colleagues. Previously on the podcast, we shared how much we enjoyed doing a virtual business retreat together. Now we've decided to open it up to some of you, our colleagues and listeners, and you can join us.
Yes, we're excited to host a virtual business retreat. Mark your calendars for September 28th, 2021. This is an opportunity to make a plan for the next 90 days, the last quarter of the year, and to make sure you finish 2021 on a high note. Perhaps there's an area of your business that you'd like to start, grow, or improve. Or maybe you need clarity around what's not working for you and your business and what changes you need to make. Perhaps you have an income goal and you'd like to make a solid plan to achieve it. Or maybe you'd like to improve your work-life clarity, making time in your life for other things that are important to you besides your work. Whatever aspirations you might have for the last quarter of 2021, we'd like to offer you an opportunity to work on it together in our first ever Smart Habits for Translators virtual business retreat. We'll be there with you every step of the way, and we're sure that you'll find this experience energizing, rewarding, and great for your business too.
To learn more about the retreat and to register, head to our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com/retreat. That's R-E-T-R-E-A-T. We want this experience to be immersive and interactive, so we're limiting it to 20 people on a first-come, first-served basis. And the best part, there's no registration fee. We simply ask you to make a donation of your choice, and all proceeds will go to supporting this podcast. So don't delay, register today at smarthabitsfortranslators.com/retreat. We'd love to work with you on the areas of your business you want to improve and finding more work-life clarity.
Okay, so let's dive into today's episode, conducting a business audit. We often talk about small business owners, in particular freelancers, having to wear many hats. We are pretty much our own boss, bookkeeper, marketing team, tech support person, administrative assistant, and more. But how often do you really sit down and think about all these areas of your business?
Right. Most of us don't have staff working for us. We carry all of these responsibilities on the daily basis. But do we really check in with each of these roles from time to time to see how things are going and how we'd like them to go? This is such an important exercise to do regularly. I remember when I was a corporate employee, we had those kinds of roundtable discussions regularly where each department would update everyone on how things were going, and we'd all brainstorm and share ideas about our vision, challenges, and strategies. So why don't we do the same for our freelance business? You can call it a business audit or a business review or even a check-in, but doing an audit like this will bring to light the things that are going well and the things that need to change, which would then help you define or modify your goals and create an action plan to reach them. So imagine a big round table where you, as the CEO of your translation or interpreting business, are surrounded by people who focus on specific areas of your business to keep things running smoothly in those areas. So you'd have someone in your finance department, in IT, human resources, business development, account or project managers, someone in public relations or marketing, someone in charge of administrative tasks, and so on. Start by making a list of all the different roles that you as a freelancer have, and let's dive into each of them and review how things are going.
Right, so let's start with the big boss, the CEO. As the owner of your freelance business, where do you envision your business heading? What strategic direction do you see for your company? Has it changed from what you used to think was right for your business? And what's happening in your professional environment? What are some big trends that could affect your business, and how do you want to respond to those? We all get so busy managing the nitty-gritty of our business that we really can forget about the big picture sometimes. So we encourage you to put that CEO hat on and think about your vision and the long-term objectives that you have for your business. I mean, I know when it comes to my business, every time I do a business audit, I find that I just have so much more clarity about the work that I want to do and the clients who I want to work with. And like we said about the trends and so forth, really taking a look at those and seeing, okay, how am I going to evolve with these trends that are happening? Because I can't stop them from happening, right? But what am I going to do to keep up with the times, to continue to evolve and grow, even if that doesn't mean growing larger or gaining more revenue, but grow in the sense of development. I think that's really important to think about. Okay, Veronica, what's next on our business audit agenda?
Well, next, let's put our finance manager hat on and look at our business finances. What are your financial goals of this period, and are you on track to meet them? How are you doing with your budget? Let's review your expenses so far and consider what expenses will be coming up soon, say in the next 3 months, and if you need to account for them. Compare your income and expenses for this period with the previous one or the same period from last year, and think about what changed and what could be the reason for the change. What kind of trends do you see? It's really healthy to take a look at your numbers and figure out what seems feasible and within reach. Try to keep your goals reasonable but aspirational too. And remember, it's not as important to hit your goals as it is to consistently keep working toward them. Where can you make more revenue, cut more expenses, perhaps invest more in your professional development, and so on? And one part that we often overlook is budgeting for things that always come up year after year, or, you know, if you're just starting out month after month, there are certain things that always come up in your business, and it's really important to think about them, plan ahead, and not sort of be caught by surprise. Like, oh, there's this conference I love going to, but I forgot to account for it in my budget. Or there are all these wonderful professional development opportunities coming up. And have you really put them into your budget for the year? So I feel like this is an area we all should be working on consistently.
Yeah, this is an area that can cause you a lot of stress if you don't plan for it, right? I think early on, probably we've all figured that out one way or another. But I know, for example, like I just renewed my errors and omissions insurance, and that costs quite a bit every year. And that's something that I have to budget for and have to make sure that I have the money for by the time it comes around, because it's not, you know, like a monthly payment. You pay that premium all at once. Or what else? Here in California, we have to pay an LLC tax just to do business here, and it's like an $800 a year tax. And it comes up every year, and so it's in addition to all the taxes we pay. So it's like one of those things that you know is coming, and that's why, you know, it's good to take this audit and look at the numbers and figure out what's what before you you know, start allocating money to different things. So all right, so now let's hear from our project managers. How are your current clients doing? What's the status of any ongoing projects? Do you need to check in with any existing clients that you haven't heard from in a while? What projects have you recently completed, and what have you learned from them? And were there any challenges or, on the other hand, something rewarding maybe that you can learn from them? So I think this is really helpful to do. I know that when I do my own business audit, I look at who all of my current clients are, and it's always a good reminder when you haven't talked to somebody in a while, when you see that list and you go, oh, yeah, I need to follow up with them. I haven't talked to them in a while. See how they're doing. See if there's anything going on that I can help them with, right? And it's also a good opportunity to say, do I want to keep working with these clients or this type of client in this specific area, you know, field, market, what have you? So I think it's a really good practice to regularly look at who's on your client list and who you might want to add to your client list as well.
Yeah, and they say that it's easier to retain clients, right, than to get new ones. So it's healthy from that perspective, too. Plus, you know, taking care of your existing clients means they're, you know, happy with your work, and they're able to refer you to their colleagues and so on. So that's helpful, too, from the business perspective. Now let's put on a business development hat on and brainstorm the different ways you can take your business to the next level, thinking of where that strategic direction lies for you, or what would you like to achieve? What kind of clients would you like to have more of? What type of projects or client work would you like to find? Where would you need to go and find those people or those projects? And are there any strategic collaborations, networking, or diversification opportunities that you need to consider? Maybe you reached out to some potential clients recently. How did it go? Would you change anything? Do you need to follow up with any of them? What other clients or leads would you like to pursue? What might you need to do to set yourself up to gain new leads or new clients in these areas? It's really helpful to think about these things from time to time, because that makes your work in that area more thought through and strategic rather than ad hoc. And you're able to plan ahead and identify opportunities, maybe even think of different arenas or like platforms where you can find new clients or be introduced to new clients, rather than feeling sort of caught off guard and caught by surprise when you're kind of scrambling to look for new business. So that's another area where analysis and planning will take you further ahead.
Exactly. And I think it's good just to think about your business in terms of the processes you have in place. I don't remember who said it, but I think it was maybe in that book, Atomic Habits, I want to say, where they said your processes are like the most important part of your business. If you can repeat something, you know, that works, that is what will keep your business moving forward. And they said it in a much more you know, elaborate way than I just said it. Maybe we can include that in the show notes, but it's something that I think is extremely helpful in thinking about your business, is that it's not just, you know, all ad hoc. Really thinking about the business development side is important. So the next area to think about is marketing. Now it's time to think about any upcoming marketing opportunities, like maybe conferences, trade shows, networking meetings, or opportunities to publish articles or blog posts that might attract new clients or highlight your expertise. Or maybe there's even a podcast that you could be interviewed on, where you could be a guest that offers, you know, your take on a specific issue or area. But also check your marketing materials. Do you need to freshen up your CV or your website? Do you need a new logo or business cards? Or maybe your LinkedIn profile needs to be dusted off. Do you need to update your portfolio or include recent projects or continued professional development in your marketing materials? And do you want to revitalize your online presence? So make a plan for what you can do and spread the work out over time so it doesn't become overwhelming. After all, nobody wants to stall out before they even get started. This is an area where I feel like I talk to a lot of colleagues, as you know, and as I've talked about a lot here on the podcast, right? Because this is something that I teach about a lot. And I do often talk to people who say, you know, I have the best of intentions, but, you know, client projects get in the way, or I'm just too busy, or I'll get to that later. And oftentimes you hear from people who, by the time they start their marketing, it's because they don't have any projects in the queue. And at that point, it's actually considered too late, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to get to the point where you're in that famine cycle. So what can you do to do a little bit at a time, but on a consistent basis?
Right. And a solid marketing approach will support your business development endeavors.
It's true.
Plus, certain aspects of marketing and putting yourself out there can seem nerve-wracking. That's when, you know, people often feel the imposter syndrome and so on. But if you plan ahead and, you know, think about both opportunities to market your services and yourself as an expert in the field, both in the translation and interpreting world and in the client world, those tasks will probably seem less daunting because you've planned them through and you've prepared good basis for actually implementing the things you planned. All right, so next let's hear from the human resources department. That's where I used to work. I know we're all freelancers, but any great company takes care of its people, and a good HR department makes sure that the company has the best talent, that they're not overworked, that they're happy with their compensation and other perks, that they find their work rewarding, and that they have opportunities to develop and grow. So put that HR hat on and consider those things. Are you happy with your work? Do you need a raise? Meaning, do you need to raise your rates or expand your client portfolio? How is your productivity? Do you feel motivated and happy in your work? And if not, what would it take to change how you feel? When was the last time you had a performance review? And is it time to do it so that you can think about your goals and identify any gaps or areas of improvement, as well as celebrate recent successes? This is also an opportunity to create or update your professional development plan, thinking of where you want your business to go, what knowledge and skills do you need to get there? Where can you find these learning opportunities? How much will they cost? And when would you like to complete them? I shared in one of our previous episodes that I'm really used to and actually missing the performance review part from my corporate employee days, because that was such a nice check-in point with both my manager and myself. And it's something that I think is really healthy to do for freelancers as well, even though we're checking in with ourselves and doing that sort of performance review with ourselves. But that's another great way to think, what would you like to achieve? What does success mean for you? As you mentioned earlier in this episode, it's not necessarily, you know, taking your business to the next level. It's, you know, what services and like what, how much would you like to make and how would you like to feel and all these other things, all these other aspects of development and growth. So making a plan for it and thinking about it and really taking that time to think about the knowledge and skills that you need to make it happen is a luxury we seldom afford, but it's really necessary. And that's another thing that fits nicely into other aspects of the business review that we mentioned before, such as developing your business and taking care of your finances and so on.
Yeah, exactly. And I really like that bit about the performance review, because I think that's something that we sometimes think about last, you know what I mean? Like if we think about it at all. And I think it's important not only to see what areas you can improve upon. Like I heard somebody say the other day that they realized that there was something they were doing for a client, and there was, I forget what it was exactly, a particular part of the project where they realized they had a weakness in that area and that they needed to maybe learn more about that specific area or topic or something, or, you know, work on their skill. I wish I had the exact example right now, but you know what I mean? Like, there's always something that we can't be good at everything, right? So there's that. There's the areas of improvement, but I think it's also really important with this performance review concept to celebrate what's gone well. Right. I had somebody the other day, a colleague, I was telling her about a podcast that I was interviewed for, and I was very excited about it because it's one of my favorite podcasts, which I can't say yet because it's not out yet, but it will be soon. And she said, wow, that's something to celebrate this weekend. And it happened to be like a Friday afternoon or something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that's true. And I don't usually think that way. My thought is like, oh, this is great. Now what's my next task or whatever, you know?
Exactly.
And so I thought, what a nice thing to hear from somebody, and she's absolutely right. So yeah, we need to also celebrate the things that have gone well. So that's part of the review, right?
That's so true. We very rarely take the time to actually think about all the successes and all the good things that have happened, because as you mentioned, we just move from one thing to the next. And yeah, it's really hard. Like if you were to do it at the end of the year, you know, kind of summarizing how your year went, it's easy to overlook the good things too. So it's much better to do it more regularly.
Yeah. All right. So what other areas of your business should you audit? What about special projects? Are there any new products or service offerings that you would like to develop? Are there any passion projects that you'd like to pursue? For example, are you interested in writing a book, starting a blog, collaborating with colleagues on a special project, forming a team of translators or a team of interpreters who work together? These are always projects that we can easily put aside for later because they feel like they're just for us, but sometimes that's really important to have something that's just for you. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a really key feature in an audit that is often overlooked. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. And these are often things that represent some of our bigger dreams and aspirations, things that actually make us happy and make us feel fulfilled. So if we always shelve them for the next, like for the better time, or like for the day when I will have less work or when I will feel less overwhelmed, which never happens, you just feel, you know, that you're kind of failing yourself.
Yeah.
So having that regular check-in and reminding yourself, well, why you want to accomplish these things and how they fit into the bigger picture is really important. All right, so many companies have other people in charge of various areas of their business. They would, for example, have someone in charge of IT or information technology, and HSE, which stands for health, safety, security, and environment. Not to say that all aspects of these roles apply to a small business, but I do think it's important to think about certain things such as health and wellness, for example, and how you're doing in this area. Do you need to make any changes? Is your working environment optimal, or do you want to make improvements? How do you feel about your work-life balance or work-life clarity? And what about your IT equipment? Do you have all the tools and software necessary to do your job and to take your business where you want it to go? Do you need to plan for buying a new computer or a printer? Are you concerned about managing all the data that you store in your laptop? And do you need to set aside some time to archive and clean things up? What about password security? These are all the things that make up our daily job as translators and help it run more smoothly and efficiently. Yet we rarely sit down and think about them until something stops working.
Yeah, that's true.
Even in the office environment, these things are, or these roles, these people are some of those that help things function in a healthy and smooth way. And when something doesn't work is, you know, when you're like, oh my gosh, scrambling to fix it. So why not plan ahead?
Yeah.
So if you know that certain things usually bug you, or they somehow make your day go less smoothly because like your folders are not organized in your computer, or you always forget where your passwords are, or you're concerned that you should change them and you forget, or you like always keep thinking like, oh, I need new tools or a new computer, new technology, new software. That's the time to actually sit down and think about all these things and plan for them.
I agree. And I also think to add to that a little bit, I mean, the IT department is usually like the savior, right? They help people in crisis yes. mode. But by being proactive, I mean, that takes a huge like load off your shoulders and gives you a lot of peace of mind. But adding to that, I think it's also really important to not only have the tools that are necessary to do your job, but know how to use them well. Mm-hmm. There are features sometimes, like for example, in CAT tools that I know some translators say, I really need to learn that specific feature because I always end up needing it and I've forgotten to learn it, you know, or get training on it or whatever, you know. And then when they do need it, it's in the middle of a huge job or something. Yeah. So I think that's part of the whole planning and development piece as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so last but not least, what about your administrative workflow, the processes involving client emails, invoicing, quoting, and so on? Is everything running smoothly, or do you need to make some changes? Or do you perhaps need some help? We often complain about how much time all the administrative tasks take, but how often do we do an audit of this area of our business and look for opportunities to improve things? You know, I sometimes see people on social media asking for advice on like invoicing tools or client management tools, and I have found that having the right processes and tools in place makes everything just seem so much easier. And it only takes time to set up, really. In the end, I mean, you just maybe have to deal with an update here or there or a new feature that comes out, but it's that initial setup that's the only thing that takes the time. And then later you feel like, wow, I can be way more productive, or I can do all my invoicing now in like less than an hour or something like that. You know, these things help us in lots of ways, not just peace of mind, but also to be more productive.
Absolutely. Yeah. And on that topic too, like anything that has to do with task management or project management, what else? Any templates for things that you often use in your work? That's
yeah.
another area that would fall under that category.
Exactly.
So we suggest that you make time to do a business audit and review various areas of your business, thinking of the different departments that you work in as a freelancer: CEO, marketing, project management, business development, finance, human resources, information technology, administrative tasks, and even health and safety. It's also important to do it regularly so you feel more attuned to the evolving needs of your business, always having a clear goal in mind and a list of helpful actions to take you there. Sounds like quite an undertaking, but it's also fun.
It is fun, yeah.
Yeah. And the hardest part is to start. But once you do, you'll realize how healthy it is for your business. And it's a great starting point that will help you get ready for a business retreat.
That's right. And we mentioned earlier that we're holding a virtual business retreat on September 28th, 2021. We would love to see you there, whether you decide to conduct a business audit in preparation for the retreat, or you simply want to use the worksheet that we're developing that will help you prepare for the retreat and make the best of it. You'll find more information about this special event at smarthabitsfortranslators.com/retreat. That's RETREAT. Okay. That's it for today's episode. We hope you found it helpful, and we'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts on this episode or suggestions for future episodes. We'll be doing another Ask Us Anything episode this fall to celebrate our second podcast-iversary. So if there's anything you're wondering about or would like to know, send us a message and we'll try to answer your question in that episode. You can leave a comment on our website or email us at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com, or you can contact us through social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
And if you like this episode, there are a couple of simple ways you can show your support. Please share it with your colleagues and friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. This only takes a minute, and we recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Talk to you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.